Imagine discovering that the person who feels most like home to you is the one person society forbids you to love. This is the haunting reality at the core of Little Liar, where trauma and desire collide in the story of adopted siblings Malachi and Olivia. Their journey begins with childhood wounds so deep they reshape the very foundations of love and attachment. For Malachi, selective mutism becomes both prison and protection after witnessing his mother's overdose at age 4. For Olivia, exploitation by her adoptive mother creates a warped understanding of intimacy and trust. When these two damaged souls find each other, they create something both beautiful and disturbing, a connection that defies conventional boundaries while raising profound questions about the nature of family, trauma, and forbidden love. At 4 years old, Malachi witnesses his mother's overdose while intruders kill his pet spider, his last connection to his absent father. This trauma silences him, leaving him counting in his head to escape reality. For 4 years, he cycles through 5 foster homes, rejected for his mutants. The breakthrough comes on his 8th birthday when he joins the Vise family. 7-year-old Olivia immediately connects with him, learning sign language specifically to communicate with him, his first genuine connection since his loss. Their early bond forms through this silent language, with Malachi thinking possessively, "She's mine," foreshadowing their future relationship. Their connection transcends conventional language. They develop an intricate system only they understand, a raised eyebrow meaning careful, tap patterns signaling danger, a gentle squeeze saying, "I'm here." This private language becomes their fortress against an uncomprehending world. Haven't we all longed for someone who would learn our unique language? This primal need for recognition forms the heart of their bond, making it both deeply human and dangerously intense. As Malachi and Olivia mature, their relationship becomes a study in trauma-shaped attachment. By 17, Malachi attempts to dissolve his adoption to pursue Olivia romantically, a clear sign of psychological disturbance. What begins as innocent comfort-seeking transforms into something troubling. During a family vacation, Malachi controls Olivia's interactions, reacting to rejection with aggression. His violations escalate to non-consensual photography during vulnerable moments, which he rationalizes as expressions of love. When Olivia later initiates innocent interactions, he misinterprets this as validation of his harmful behavior, mistaking possession for protection. Our earliest wounds shape our understanding of love. For someone who's lost everything, like Malachi, fear of abandonment can transform love into something possessive. His trauma doesn't excuse his behavior, but illuminates his obsession's architecture, how his love was built on the unstable ground of childhood loss. Behind Malachi and Olivia's disturbing relationship lies a family system enabling inappropriate dynamics. Their mother, Jennifer, emerges as particularly sinister, grooming Olivia for arranged marriages and forcing her to sleep with older men while warning her to keep this from her father and Malachi. The night Olivia lost her virginity to Parker through her mother's arrangement, Malachi unknowingly held heat packs to her body as she silently suffered. Both siblings harbor secrets that isolate them while drawing them closer in unhealthy ways. The parents' failure to establish boundaries directly contributes to the siblings' inappropriate relationship. When Malachi's father discovers his son's feelings, he increases therapy but neglects underlying issues. Meanwhile, Jennifer commodifies Olivia, eventually selling her to the Reznikov family for $11 million. During a confrontation, Jennifer reveals Olivia is infertile and that her husband initially rejected adoption. This forces Olivia to question whether her mother intentionally pushed her toward Malachi, suggesting their inappropriate relationship might have been deliberately engineered. The most chilling aspect isn't the siblings' relationship, but the parents who created perfect conditions for it, then feigned shock at the result. For Malachi, violence becomes his primary language of protection due to his selective mutism. Speaking only to Olivia and eventually his therapist, he communicates through calculated physical aggression that follows a clear pattern of escalation. When boys harass Olivia, he attacks without hesitation, breaking one boy's arm and another's nose. The violence intensifies when he learns about Parker's planned assault at homecoming, methodically breaking Parker's fingers and hospitalizing three others. This culminates when Olivia is kidnapped by Marcus Wheeler, whom Malachi repeatedly stabs with a screwdriver. The revelation that he's buried other bodies confirms killing has become his solution to perceived threats. Yet this violence contrasts with his tender treatment of Olivia, showing his ability to compartmentalize between brutality and affection. Their embrace after Wheeler's murder, with blood still wet on their clothes, symbolizes their bond, forged in darkness but sustained by love. When Malachi's father helps dispose of Wheeler's body, his words, "This needs to be the last one," carry both acceptance and warning. Despite its darkness, the story offers redemption through genuine connection. For Malachi, someone learning sign language became his lifeline. Though his attachment to Olivia grows unhealthy, it saves him from psychological collapse. For Olivia, Malachi represents a rare constant amid manipulation and abuse. Their relationship creates a fortress against external threats, from Parker's predatory advances to the Reznikovs' control. Their bond fosters unexpected alliances with their father, Molly, and even Adrix Reznikov, forming a makeshift family united by care rather than blood. In the epilogues, their son Isaac transforms their dyad into a healing trinity. Malachi now communicates beyond just Olivia and sleeps beside Isaac during nightmares, his son becoming his best friend and number one reason for living. 3 years later, they've built a new life in Vermont. 12 years on, they donate to genetic disease research. Their 14-year-old son has grown up without his father's childhood trauma, suggesting broken cycles of pain. Yet when Isaac confidently approaches a girl declaring, "I don't need luck, I'm a vise," echoes of Malachi's determination persist, showing trauma's subtle generational influence. This story denies us easy moral judgments about Malachi and Olivia's relationship. Their connection as adopted siblings crosses social taboos, yet complex factors blur ethical lines. Both carry severe trauma that distorted their understanding of love and family. The narrative raises uncomfortable questions. How responsible are they for desires formed through distorted experiences? Does their non-biological relation matter? How should we weigh Malachi's consent violations against his psychological damage? No simple answers emerge, just characters navigating moral gray areas, making choices both understandable given their histories and troubling in their implications. This ambiguity extends to supporting characters, like their father who helps dispose of a body to protect his children. When Olivia asks where they'll go, Malachi simply signs home, encompassing safety, belonging, and self-defined family. This reveals that home exists not in blood relations or documents, but with people who understand us completely. Perhaps most challenging is recognizing that even problematic love can contain genuine healing. Their relationship shows how profound connections transcend traditional boundaries, residing in spaces where true understanding lives.